3, 2, 1.
From Rapid City, South Dakota, and the Hard Rocker Podcast Network, focusing on stories on and off the playing surface.
This is the Hard Rocker Huddle.
Welcome to the Hard Rocker Huddle. My name is Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. Episode 27 today, and we're here with offensive coordinator of the South Dakota Mines football team, Ryan Gent. Thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate you having me.
Just getting right into it, you grew up in a little small town kind of near Iowa City. What was your life like growing up there, family life, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I grew up technically in the town of Wellman, Iowa, but we lived out in the country, grew up on a farm out there, have two older brothers and named Dan and Matt. They're a few years older than me, and we grew up there. Obviously, mom and dad, John and Kathy. My dad actually started our family farm once he kind of got out of high school and got, you know, his feet underneath him and really just built the farm there back in Wellman. And shoot, I grew up there working on the farm, you know, every tons of mornings, every weekend, you know, doing chores, all sorts of farm work, and really enjoyed growing up there. I think it was a great avenue for me to learn different things such as work ethic, details, different stuff like that, where you just have to be cautious of what you're doing on the farm at all times and work together as a team and communicate, all sorts of things. So it was a great environment for me to grow up in and allows you to also have some fun out in the country and do some of those things as well.
Sure, and then kind of jumping forward a little bit, initially, what kind of got you first interested in sports? Did your brothers play sports? And then what kind of sports were you playing early on?
Yeah, so brothers definitely played sports. We were all very competitive growing up. I mean, it was the fastest to eat, because, you know, you had to eat the fastest so that way you could eat the leftover, you know, and get seconds the fastest. So it was always competition at our household for everything, you know. So we competed and sports just, you know, was a kind of a part of that. My dad and mom were both into sports growing up and took us to games, high school games at the school at Mid Prairie there. Then we'd go to college games as well. And it just kind of built that love for sports and competition. So we would play anything, growing up that had a ball, or you could ride or race or anything like that. So a lot of fun with that standpoint.
So did you like learn how to ride horses and stuff too when you were younger?
No horses, but I learned at a pretty young age how to ride a motorcycle, and I think my mom always says I rode the motorcycle before I rode a bike. So we kind of bypassed the training wheels and went full speed ahead.
Yeah, and then when you got later in life, when you started playing more organized sports, small town, what was it kind of like? You know, did you play with pretty much the same kids growing up all the way through high school?
Yeah, we had a really good group of guys in our class. We always talked when we were in elementary, middle school of kind of what we wanted to do when we got to high school, because we had a bunch of older guys that kind of set that standard when we were, you know, around that elementary, middle school age, and we wanted to be like them at the time, and we really stuck together kind of throughout our whole school career, and that was a lot of fun, you know, just playing sports with the same guys, and then getting to, you know, live out that quote-unquote dream throughout high school was a lot of fun with those guys.
Yeah, you played a few sports. You lettered in golf, basketball, football. What were some of those memories like, especially, you know, playing basketball and golf as well?
Yeah, basketball and golf. You know, I wasn't huge into golf until high school, my ninth grade year. I don't know if I was so competitive that I would get frustrated and when I wasn't hitting a good shot. And then finally just went out freshman year when I could and had, you know, really good coaches there. Coach Caden my freshman year, and then Coach Strabel my sophomore year on, and those guys taught me a ton and really fell in love with the game of golf then, and still love it to this day. Just enjoy playing, getting out there. Obviously with golf, you know, we were able to go to state and had a bunch of fun there, made a ton of memories with that group. And then, you know, basketball as well was another sport that I just had phenomenal coaches. You know, Coach Showalter was our high school coach at the time, who's a very well-known name in the coaching profession. You know, he's a Hall of Famer in the state of Iowa. He's huge into USA basketball now. I believe he's the national scout director of coaches for USA basketball. So I don't think he's lost any games in his Olympic career, which is crazy to even fathom. But obviously he, you know, has worked closely with coaches like Coach K, Calipari, you know, those guys. And just being able to play under him was kind of a dream of mine growing up, when we'd go to the gym and watch them play. And so being around those great coaches really kind of helped set the tone for me in sports, you know, and just having that foundation of great coaches starting at such a young age was huge for me.
Yeah, and you obviously played football in high school as well. When did you kind of realize that, you know, football was kind of the sport you wanted to pursue, or why football over basketball or golf?
Yeah, football, I don't know. There was just something crazy about it. I first loved basketball growing up, played a bunch of AAU and really, really enjoyed that, obviously, and still do. But football, there was just something different about playing under the lights with, you know, your guys, your buddies, and taking all 11 people, obviously on each side of the ball, and making something happen each play. You know, everybody's got to be accountable to each other to have a bunch of success. And I think ultimately, you know, while doing that, I really fell in love with that aspect of it.
Yeah, and obviously you had some success your senior year. You made it to the state playoffs. You were an all-district selection. How much, like looking back to that, how much did that kind of mean to you back then? And how many, you know, lessons, so to speak, did you learn that you kind of still hold with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you look back on that time, and it's always a time that just stands out. You know, again, great coaches. With Coach Kavanaugh was our head coach, and Coach Pickford and Coach Murphy, those guys were phenomenal coaches again for us, but and taught us so many lessons. You know, there was first game of that year, we played a really good team and ended up getting beat the first game. And, you know, we had these high dreams, expectations, and, you know, we could have, you know, crumbled right away, but shoot, we came back and didn't lose again until the last game, you know, that we obviously lost in the, what was it, quarterfinals, I believe. But, you know, just tons of lessons there. And again, memories that you never forget. I tell recruits all the time, just enjoy it, because it goes so fast that senior year. And you know, those memories will last a lifetime.
Yeah, sure. After that, you obviously wound up going to Iowa State, but did you grow up an Iowa State fan, or did you grow up a Hawkeye fan?
So actually I grew up an Iowa fan. Being so close to Iowa City, 30 minutes away, you know, everybody was pretty much an Iowa fan growing up, with a few exceptions of obviously relatives or different people. But grew up an Iowa fan. My mom actually went to the University of Iowa, so she graduated from there, and I think they had season tickets for like 30-some years. And so, you know, growing up, we'd go to Kinnick Stadium a bunch, and obviously that was fun, and still have a bunch of great memories from there. And then went to Iowa State, and you know, you put in all that time and effort and work with the team there, and you know, it kind of flips that switch, and you know, you change allegiance, so to speak.
Yeah, why did you decide to go to Iowa State? Were you not being recruited as hard as Iowa, or was it just a better fit?
Yeah, more so probably for academics. You know, they had what I was wanting to go into with engineering. I had a cousin that had gone up to school at Iowa State as an engineer. My older brother, Dan, went to Iowa State and studied ag studies there. So had some ties up there with some family. Couple cousins that went there as well, but you know, so had the ties there. Really enjoyed the school. The campus was absolutely beautiful, and then, you know, just fell in love up there, and that's why I ended up going to school there.
Sure, you are you rooting for Iowa State now, or are you still rooting for Iowa? How's that work, especially with your family being big Iowa fans?
Yep, definitely sticking with the alma mater for sure, Iowa State, you know, all the way. But you know, it's fun to see them both be successful, you know, as they've been over the past few years in football, which has been a lot of fun and good for the state of Iowa.
Yeah, Matt Campbell has really done some amazing things over at Iowa State, for sure. Then while you were playing at Iowa State, what was that kind of like? What was it like to be a part of, you know, a Big 12 Division I program? What are some of the lessons you learned? And then what eventually made you think about going into coaching?
Yeah, well, a ton of lessons learned there for sure. I mean, again, I know I probably sound like a broken record here, but I just had really good coaches. Was very fortunate to be around phenomenal coaches. You know, Coach Messingham is one of my mentors, and you know, obviously Coach Rhodes was my coach while I was there, and Coach McKnight was our strength coach, who we probably spent more time with than anybody, and just taught, you know, hey, we got to work hard and do things the right way and, you know, pay attention to the details again, and you just take it to the next level from that standpoint. But, you know, being there and being on that team was a ton of fun. Obviously, again, you meet a whole new group of friends and guys that you build that bond with, because you're sweating, you know, and everything together for 365 days. I think, you know, coming out of high school, I didn't realize what it took at that next level at the time. You know, being able to, you know, just compete at the highest level was a lot of fun. Obviously, going around the country and seeing some of the stadiums that you get to, you know, go to is also a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing I probably learned is, hey, football is football wherever, you know, whether you're Division I, Division II, Division III, that, you know, the field dimensions are the same. They're all 100 yards long. And, you know, when that play is getting played, that's the main focus is right on the field. And so that part has been really cool to kind of see how it transitions from, you know, Division I, 1AA, now FCS, and Division II, so on and so forth. So that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got into coaching right away, Northwest Missouri State. What kind of brought you there? Was that a connection you had? And why was Northwest Missouri State, I guess, the right fit?
Yeah, so my last year at Iowa State, I was actually a student assistant there. So I was done playing in my last year there. So I worked, again, under some really good graduate assistants at the time there at Iowa State, and taught me a ton. And then I had a close friend who was with me at Iowa State, who had been at Northwest, and then he had left for another job and kind of recommended me. And then I also had another tie with Coach Wright, who was the DC at the time, with Coach Schwartz, who was at Iowa State. They were friends and had known each other in the coaching profession for a long time. So I kind of had a connection there that got me in the door just kind of worked as hard as I could once I got down there, and obviously, you know, the team was extremely successful.
Yeah, your first year you were the offensive line was your main. What was that kind of like? You know, obviously being a quarterback, it's a little easier to understand like wide receivers, tight ends, but O line, that must have been a pretty big transition.
Yeah, that was, you know, coming out, you think you know a lot as a player, you know, and you've had those great coaches and you feel like you know a lot. Definitely got humbled that first year jumping to offensive line and helping with that position as a graduate assistant. Coach Doral, the head coach, he was coaching them, and so I got to learn under him, which was awesome. And yeah, I just I kind of, you know, was spinning there for a while, but learned a ton that has really helped me out kind of throughout my career, just having that base knowledge of the offensive line and being able to truly learn some of the intricacies that you learn during that time.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of head coaches and young coaches at some point they kind of have to broaden their skill set if you want to eventually be a head coach, eventually be an offensive coordinator. You kind of have to know more than one position. So I'm sure
Absolutely.
learning, especially O-line technique, was probably completely new for you, but I'm sure.
100% new. Yeah. Yep.
And then you spent a couple years at Northwest Missouri State as a GA. Eventually you were named an assistant coach that was running backs and tight ends.
Yep. So I was essentially a restricted earnings type position there, my third year there, and yep, coaching the running backs and tight ends.
What was that like to first, you know, be O-line and then get back into obviously running back, something you have a little more familiarity with, being a quarterback and then tight ends as well?
Yep, absolutely. Again, you know, I felt like in looking back, it was really good for me to get those positions under my belt, so to speak. I think you learn a ton by teaching a different position. Yes, as a quarterback, you know, you got to understand what everybody's doing and when they're doing it and how. But like you mentioned, just the technique and coaching the technique is something that at a young age you kind of got to learn. And as a coaching at a young age, I'm saying there, but yeah, it was really good. You know, the thing there at Northwest is the guys are really good, meaning the players are good about, hey, they're going to take the initiative and they understand what it takes because they've been so successful that they know, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what it takes. This is when we're going to do it. And let's go get it done. So just being around the great dudes there, I think helped make that transition easy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's a really successful program historically. You won a national championship while when you were there. You went like 26-2. What was that like to be able to early in your career kind of have that success and see what that winning culture looks like, so to speak?
Yeah, it's definitely something as you look back, you know, you try not to take for granted for it, obviously. I think my last 2 years there, we went 15-0 and 15-0. So we went, yeah, it was like 30-0 in our last 2 years alone. And you know, I think at times you can almost take that for granted, like I was saying, and man, this whole coaching thing is easy, especially at such a young age, right? And you look at that and you're like, geez, this is simple, you know. Now I had a lot of experience, or I shouldn't say a lot, some experience from my time at Iowa State, where I knew that that wasn't the case, and especially my last year there, where we had a bunch of challenges that. I knew that that wasn't always going to be the case, but you definitely kind of get a feeling sometimes when you're at Northwest, like, hey, this is the expectation, and we're going to roll the ball out there, and we're going to do what we do because of all the work that those guys put in. What I did was very, very minimal to that overall success there, that's for sure.
Yeah, they've been a powerhouse for a while, and obviously Coach Flohr was a pretty big part of that at that time. What was it like getting to know him and getting to kind of work under him early in your career too?
Yeah, that was awesome. Just being under Coach Flohr, obviously he's taught me so much of just, especially when I was really, really young in the profession, things to do, what not to do, and just observing him doing his role, you know, man, talk about a guy who's consistent and everything that he does and brings it every single day. I think just watching and observing him do that helped set me up, you know, for a successful career as well. Just having him as a mentor and being able to ask questions is huge.
Yeah, and then you were there for 3 years till 2016. After that, you jumped back up a level to FCS, Abilene Christian. From an Iowa kid going down to Texas, that must have been a little bit of a different culture.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, football is big down there, you know, and I think, again, just a lot of really good people that I was around that helped our time down there and really enjoyed it.
Why'd you decide to make the jump at that time from Northwest to Abilene Christian?
Yeah, at the time, you know, the head coach at Northwest Missouri State was Coach Dorrell, and he got the opportunity to go down to Abilene Christian, asked me to come along, and you know, for me at the time, I felt it was a good decision for us, for the family, to get away from the Midwest a little bit, experience something new, and obviously bring challenges to my career as well, you know, and grow from that standpoint. So a lot of things that were enticing from that standpoint to help me grow.
Sure, and your main you were with wide receivers coach there all 4 years, correct?
Yep.
What was it kind of like being able to, obviously there's some more familiarity being a QB, you already kind of know all the, you know, all the route trees and a lot more specifics to the wide receiver position. What was that kind of transition like to be able to get maybe back into a little bit more of your comfort zone?
Yeah, no, it was good. Again, had really good guys to work with, and just jumping into that and learning the technical aspects from the wide receiver standpoint at that level. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, and you know, I think the lower levels you go, you know, I'm talking high school and things like that, you can get away with certain things where, you know, when you're going against a 6'1", 6'2" defensive back, you can't just line up there and think that you're going to get off a press release. You have to be extremely technical, and I think that was the biggest thing that I learned early there was, you know, just the technique aspect and the fundamentals of that position. But overall, learning that helped me, again, just continue to grow and broaden my horizons offensively, so to speak.
Yeah, and you coached a couple guys who were pretty good, and Josh Fink and Troy Grant. One was an All-American, another was All-Conference guy. What was it like to be able to see some of your coaching, you know, even play a small part in those couple guys' success?
Yep, definitely great guys. You know, had a bunch of them there again. Troy was awesome. Carl Whitley was another one, and then Josh Fink was kind of, he was Mr. Consistent. I mean, talk about a kid who did everything right academically, on the field, off the field. I mean, I think he was 4.0 GPA, maybe a 3.99. I'm not sure now, but still keep in touch with him and those guys today. But yeah, coaching those guys was a bunch of fun, and you know, seeing it pay off was a lot of fun as well. And you know, you just hope that they can take a little something here or there. And I think those guys did a great job of being open and open-minded to new things and new challenges, and took the coaching, and they did the rest. Again, I can't say I did much, but they did a great job.
Yeah, and after 4 years there, it was time to move on and get 3 years there. Sorry.
Yep.
Time to move on. Got hired here by Coach Floor right when his first staff came on. What was it what was your initial interest in this position? Was it that relationship, or were there other kind of drawing points as well?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of things, honestly. Obviously, first and foremost, the relationship with Coach Floor was huge. Knowing him, understanding what he would bring to the table, and having the opportunity, obviously, here. The location, obviously, being in Rapid City, Black Hills, you know, we'd been out here before on family vacations, different things like that, getting out here. So love everything with the outdoors here, and also, you know, getting the opportunity to call plays. I think, you know, you, especially after doing it, you learn so much from calling plays that you don't realize going into it, and you feel like you're ready, and you know the first game or you know even practice hits you in the face, and like, okay, so you kind of got to reassess and continue to grow and build there.
Yeah, and one of the biggest, I guess, transitions I would imagine to come to this school is the academic focus. But for you, you know, you were a pretty solid student. You won all academic All Big 12 a bunch of times. You were an engineer yourself. So for you, that was probably a little bit more of a smooth transition to be able to, you know, recruit and help out guys in the classroom.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, another thing I didn't mention that, hey, that kind of drew me to here, you know. With the academic component, obviously it's huge. And ultimately, what's the stat? 1 or 2% of guys that play college ball go on to the NFL, and ultimately the rest of them are going to go be successful, or, you know, I want them to be successful, and I'm going to push those guys to do that off the field as well. And that was a big component of it, really, just being able to relate to those guys that are going through the daily grind of the rigor of an engineering school, and to be able to have that background is extremely helpful in my opinion. You know, I guess I joke quite a bit, I'm not going to be able to help them with their differential equations homework on a daily basis anymore, but I know what they're feeling and the stresses that they're going through, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we kind of already talked a little bit about your relationship with Coach Floor, but what was it, you know, how, I guess, cool of a moment was it to be like, okay, I already coached with this guy early in my career, now he wants me back as, you know, a primary play caller as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, just to have somebody believe in you and trust in you is huge, and ultimately, getting the chance to work with him again has been phenomenal. I can't give him enough thanks, and obviously, again, just being a mentor for me every day still, you know, I think has been phenomenal. He does such a good job of leading our team and our organization, and allows us to do things. And you know, when he feels he needs to step in, he's going to do that in a really good way. And I think that's what gives me confidence is, you know, hey, we're gonna be able to do some stuff. And when he sees it, you know, he wants it done this way, hey, great. And we're able to have those tough conversations because we have that relationship. And you know, it's everything isn't always peaches and roses, so to speak, on a daily basis during the season, and you got to be able to have that relationship that you can, you know, fall back on, so to speak, because things do get tough throughout a year and things happen, but having that relationship has been crucial, and understanding each other and kind of where we're always coming from.
Sure. What are those kind of main transitions from going from a position coach to an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think, you know, just making sure everybody's on the same page. You know, we got a few, obviously, coaches helping us out with Coach Stevens, offensive line, Coach Sales, coaching the running backs, Coach Flores, you know, working with the quarterbacks. You know, it's just making sure we're all on the same page, I think, has been the biggest thing that I learned early. Just communicate and over communicate. You know, I think at times early, I took that for granted, and you know, you learned real quick when we go out to practice. Hey, I thought we talked about, you know, doing X, Y, Z. Oh, well, you said no. Okay, so you got to make sure everybody's on the same page, and I think we've done a good job of working together as a group.
Especially, yeah, when there's like 10 coaches, I imagine it's even more important. I know you guys are meeting pretty much every day. That's got to be critical.
Yep, absolutely.
How kind of, obviously your first year as an offensive coordinator, then you're dealing with a COVID year. What was that kind of like to, I mean, first you don't know if there's going to be a season at all, and then all of a sudden you find out there's going to be some games played. And what was it kind of like to, you know, kind of be able to just adjust on the fly? And what was that experience like?
It was wild. You know, emotionally, it just kind of took a toll on you at times. And I think, you know, Coach Floor did such a good job of, you know, steering the ship, so to speak, on that whole deal with our team. And gosh, we got here. We're here for like 6, 7, 8 weeks. I don't remember exactly what it was. And then everything kind of shuts down. You're like, oh boy, you know, what's going to happen now? And, you know, then we, like you said, we have the season on schedule. Then it's all off the schedule. So we're like, okay, you know, and another thing to factor into it at the time, my wife was pregnant. So initially I'm like, okay, well, we'll have a little one during the season, our first one. And then the season was canceled. So I was like, well, you know, hey, at least I'll be able to be home and be around for everything. And then we go back to having a season, and we scheduled a 6-game season, and, you know, due date was right smack dab in that. I said, okay, perfect. So, you know, and then he ends up, Will, our son, who's now 19 months, is born during the third game of our season, October 21st, and the week right before we played Colorado Mesa. So, throwing all that in there and then being a first-time play caller, I mean, I don't know if it could get more hectic than that. And ultimately, looking back, it was so beneficial, you know, just getting all that thrown our way as a staff, you know, as a new, you know, play caller. Having those 4 games was huge, you know, because at the end of the day, yes, obviously we're all competitive and we wanted to win every single one of them, but, you know, they're at that time, there wasn't a true conference championship on the line where, hey, we can try some things here or there and see what's going to kind of work for us moving forward. And that really worked out.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned this, but most schools didn't play that year. So it must have been just a big advantage for you guys, especially the first year as a new staff altogether, to be able to get those 4 games in.
100%. It was extremely beneficial for us because obviously at the time we didn't get a spring ball that previous spring, so we're going into our quote-unquote fall camp, which I think technically didn't start till September 8th or something crazy, when normally it starts the first, you know, week or so of August. And you know, I think at the time we were doing 3 different practices with 3 different groups, and just getting that experience for our guys and giving them confidence and teaching them our schemes and what our expectations was huge.
Yeah, and then going into this past season, obviously it was a little more normal. You had a pretty much regular summer practice. Obviously spring was a little bit odd, but regular summer, regular season, and you had some success. What are some of the things that you know, we're most impressed with, things maybe that you think could still use some growth?
Yeah, I think, you know, from a success standpoint, really just how our guys bought into what we were doing, teaching and coaching them and just allowing them to drive the bus. Obviously, as a play caller, you know, the downside, sometimes you always, you know, you want to go back and look and see where, hey, maybe you could do better. And there's a lot of those, you know, when I look back and look at it, hey, we need to do X, Y, Z, so to speak. you know, and you continue to file that away and put that in the memory bank to be able to draw back on later. And just, again, continuous growth, really.
Yeah, and then spring, this past spring, was, again, a regular spring again. How important is that to have that, you know, going into the summer and fall?
Yeah, it's huge. It really is huge. And we felt like we had some guys that really stepped up. You know, spring is a big time to just continue to learn what we're teaching and get the young guys caught up to speed. That way when they come in for fall camp, they're ready to rock and roll. And ultimately building that the depth is the biggest component of the spring session, so to speak. And we feel like we did that, and not we, the guys did that, really, and stepped up and helped build that depth that we're going to need moving forward in the fall to be successful.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned needing to build depth, but you have quite a few guys coming back. Obviously, most of your core group, your QBs, some of your running backs, wide receivers, most of that's coming back. How important is that, you know, just to be able to build what you guys want to build here?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, just the camaraderie between the group, you know, their understanding of each other is huge, and they're doing so much on their own because we're not able to do anything with them during the summer months here, that they're kind of setting a new standard, so to speak, and which has been really fun to hear about, and you know, it's been fun, and obviously puts a lot of excitement on what's to come ahead.
Sure, and then just talk about some of your, you know, goals for this season and then going forward with the program, and how do you as an offense kind of build towards that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of our goals, we don't really focus on wins and losses so much. It's just the process, man. Every day you gotta, you know, put in deposits and you know, continue to do that day in and day out when it's not convenient. But ultimately our goals are, you know, we want to be more explosive offensively. We want to, you know, put up more points, and our guys feel that and understand that, and I know they're doing everything in their power right now to help with that. You know, looking back, at times we felt like we could have done that more last year, and to your point, we feel like we have that core group of guys that's coming back that understands that and has the capability to do that. So that's probably what's most exciting.
Sure. As a last question I have, as a coach, what is it kind of like? Obviously, you can't really do much individual player coaching really until August when your kids get back again. So what is it like as a coach to kind of prepare and get ready? September 1's coming quick, and then you got a couple tough opponents right off the bat.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you hope you have a great group of older guys, and fortunately for us, I don't have to hope. You know, I know that those guys are getting after it, and they're, you know, leading, and they understand what we want to do. And ultimately, again, it's those guys that are driving the bus, and it's just really, really exciting for what we have coming this year and what we think we're going to be capable of.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Coach. My name is Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. This has been the Hard Rocker Huddle. We're signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Rocker Huddle with host Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. Follow on Apple and Spotify.